Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Text Message, the UK-focused technology podcast with me, Nate Langsam. And if you're one of our Patreon or new Apple Podcast subscribers as of this week, this is your extended ad-free version of the show. Thank you to Mark Booge. Oh, Berg? Booge? You know who you are. I'm apologising for not being able to pronounce your surname. But thank you, Mark and Tarek Fidel, who are among the many people supporting us directly. And for the price of a couple of coffees a month, you can join them and get access to our full ad-free show. Listen live, chat with us as we record, and get our exclusive show, Extra Message. Find out more at uktechshow.com/subscribe. Now, it's been an arresting week at Ian's unlawful emu petting zoo, so he is away to spend time with his remaining freedoms, but in his place is a woman who's as free as she is confined to wedlock, my nerd in crime and wife, Kate Langson. Hello, wife.
Hello.
Now, you haven't been on the show for a little while, have you? When was the last time you were on here? Months ago.
Pre-lockdown.
Wasn't it? I'm surprised we've not started doing a podcast together in lockdown. We were talking about doing a snail, giant African land snail show, weren't we?
I think you talked about it.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, if you were one of the people on the Three mobile network in the UK this week, you may have received some spooky phone calls, or indeed been the spook. The company confirmed that a bizarre glitch was causing calls to be routed to incorrect mobile numbers, meaning incoming calls arrived from complete and confused strangers, and outgoing calls were often met with baffled answers. Now, while this took place, the angry mobs of social media assumed it was a data breach, possibly even a breach, but Three confirmed this was not the case. But as of the time of recording, it hasn't given a specific reason other than to say on Twitter on the 19th of June, quote, "We're now up and running again following yesterday's issues. We're really sorry for any disruption this may have caused you." And that followed a message on the 18th, which read, "We're currently experiencing technical issues with some calls. Please accept our apologies if you've been affected by this. Our engineers are working hard to fix it. Check back here for updates." Now, a lot of the replies to this, actually, before I go on, Kate, you're not on Three, are you?
No.
Who are you with?
BT.
BT. Oh, okay. Is that because of me?
Yeah, probably.
Fair enough. Well, some of the replies then from affected people include, I'm going to pick out a few here. "I've had 5 or 6 random numbers from mobiles and 2 from landlines, ... all in the space of 8 mins, ... Others include, "I've had 6 different numbers call me over the past 2 hours, all of whom hadn't even called me. My phone went nuts when I was waiting on a crucial call." Another person said, "I had 15 calls from numbers I didn't know in 15 minutes. Nobody there when I answered the phone." And another one who said, "I received 6 calls and my mum had 10 random calls. When I call them back, they say they hadn't called." Quite worrying, really, for them to not know and everyone have their numbers exposed. Now, my theory initially was that this was ghosts and ghouls. But it is weird because...
What would be their intention with that? What are they trying to do?
Probably the same thing people who go to mediums expect them to do, which is to get in touch with relatives.
Oh, so they're trying to put people in touch with other people.
Is my guess. But
just failing.
It wasn't ghost. It was apparently some kind of an internal routing problem, but we haven't got more details from Three just yet. But what I really found interesting about this when I was doing the research is that I assumed people were dialing numbers and random people were answering, but that's not necessarily always been the case. It was sometimes that numbers of actual people were appearing to call another person, but there wasn't actually a person initiating that call. But when they called back, they still got somebody who said they hadn't made the phone call.
Mm.
Which I think is really spooky.
It is spooky.
Like if that happened to you 15 times a day.
Yeah. Well, 15 times in 15 minutes.
Do you answer unknown numbers?
No, that was what I was going to say. Is all these tweets from people that you read out.
Yeah.
So someone said, no one there when I answered the phone. And then someone said, when I call them back, they say they haven't called. Who are these people answering the phone to random phone numbers and calling random phone numbers?
I don't know.
I know I'm a bit weird, but I don't answer the phone unless I know who's calling me.
But you hate the phone.
I hate the phone. But
I don't like them. I tend to just assume that it's always somebody calling me in my role as a journalist because my number's out there. I'm not difficult to find if you want
but
to call
I'm,
me.
But I'm nobody and I get random spam calls from local numbers and mobile numbers all the time. And they could be real people because it's like a mobile number, but I just ignore them. Because if it's a real person, they'll leave a message.
And in this instance, they were real people, but they were people who weren't actually, in some cases, trying to dial the number in the first place. I just think that's really weird. If you get all these incoming calls from a number and you answer and no one speaks, and then you call back to say, WTF, what's going on? And they say, sorry, who are you? Like, you called me 6 times. No, I didn't. Well, you did on this number. No, I didn't. That'd be really freaky.
It would be freaky. No, I don't know what I'd do. I mean, I wouldn't call them back in the first place, but...
No. Do you remember, actually, a few months ago, we had that... you got an email notification from a Deliveroo in, Leeds
or
something.
Yeah, that was weird.
And it wasn't your credit card number. It was someone else's number, but they'd obviously just mistyped their email address.
Yeah.
And
it was my really, really old email address.
But didn't you try and call them? Didn't you send them a text?
I texted them and I said... Hey, you've just ordered a delivery, or I think it was Just Eat or something like that, and you're probably not going to get notifications, or I don't know if it's going to arrive or whatever because you've used my account. But like, I tried to reset the password. Basically, I think they had a password reset. Obviously, they trying to get in and they couldn't. And then I text them because their mobile number was coming up in their account, which I could log into.
Yeah.
But they didn't text me back, so...
I think that would have freaked... It would have freaked them out probably a little bit. Would have freaked me out.
Very polite. I was very like, hi, this is really weird, but I can get into your Just Eat account because you've used my email address and I tried to reset your password for you, but... Like, you're probably not going to get your food.
But you could have replied and said, I really hope you enjoy your 2 battered sausages, 1 large and 1 small portion of chips and a side of scraps.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They didn't reply, so I felt like I hadn't helped them.
Well, you've done the right
thing. Sad.
You did the right thing. John in our live chat points out that there is an option in the iPhone, and I assume in Android as well, where you can silence unknown callers. So they automatically just... doesn't show them up, which is probably quite a good idea. But the other thing that some people did point out was an issue is that if somebody was using a recycled number, which I don't think this is, then it can affect your ability to get things like 2-factor notification calls. And I looked into this because, again, that's not what was happening here. This was just an internal routing problem. But this does happen when people's phone numbers get recycled if they've been deactivated for a while. In the UK, they can be recycled within a few days, usually weeks, sometimes 60 or 70 days, up to 6 months. But that's not a very long time. If you were a person who had a lot of incoming calls, that's not a lot of time to elapse between your contract or your number being effectively put out of use and then being reassigned to another person. You know, that could happen 2 times within a year if it was the same number being used. I suppose more than 2 times in a year. If it happened every, I don't know, 3 months. But that's not just the case here. This does happen in the US. I found one example from last year. NPR had covered this, and it was a woman who was getting calls for Elon Musk.
Ooh.
It turns out that the number that she had, I think she was like a beauty therapist or something along those lines, and she was getting calls. There was one example here of a South African businessman asking to buy 1,000 Tesla trucks, and also the US International Revenue Service, which is their HMRC, was calling about a complicated tax issue.
I love the idea that if you wanted to buy 1,000 Tesla trucks, you would call Elon Musk and not, you know, the distributor, manufacturer of trucks.
Yeah.
You just call the CEO. That's a totally normal thing to do.
There's a screenshot of one of her messages here that says, so the incoming message said, Elon, ? She replies, nope. This person replies, met with him last week and was given his number. Is this the foundation for him? Nope. This is a 22-year-old college student cell phone number. Who is this? And in what context have you gotten this number? I've been getting phone calls and texts for a couple of years now with people thinking I'm Elon, and I've been wondering why. The person replied, was given your number, but a friend of mine that claims to be friends with Elon Musk. But if you just search your number on Google, it shows up.
Mm.
That'd be pretty weird.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Kind of amazing.
You could have some fun with that, couldn't you?
Well, apparently quite a lot of people did.
Well, if you want 1,000 Tesla trucks, send me X amount of money and I'll have them sent over.
Hey, Mr. Musk, just wondering how I can purchase that ATV that you showed off during the Cybertruck reveal. Thanks. Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, well, 3 has since fixed this issue, but it doesn't, of course, stop people who have their numbers recycled from being used. In fact, in our chat room, it's just been reminded to us the time that my old colleague Rory from CNET, Rory Reed, once got sent a mobile phone back. I think it was a reconditioned phone that he'd bought, and it still had photos of the previous user's mail member stored on it. Let's say. So it can happen with hardware. It often happens with numbers. And in this case, it happened quite a lot to 3. If you were affected by any of these issues, of course, I'd love to hear some examples of how you dealt with the trauma. Send them to uktechshow@icloud.com, which I confirm has always been our email address, not Elon Musk's. The BBC wrote this week that the Advertising Standards Authority named and shamed 4 celebrities it said repeatedly failed to disclose when their Instagram posts were actually advertisements. I've got the names here. They are Chloe Kahn, Jodie Marsh, Lucy Mecklenburg, and Chloe Ferry. I don't know who are. Do you know who these people are? I know Jodie Marsh.
I know Jodie Marsh.
She a model.
She was a model, and then she was on, I want to say Big Brother or I'm a Celebrity, but I think I might have made that up. And now she's a bodybuilder.
Ah.
I looked them up. Chloe Ferry was on Geordie Shore, which is one of those shows that's like fake reality TV.
Geordie Jumpers.
And Chloe Kahn, I think, is similar in that she was like on the X Factor or something. And then now she's just Instagram famous and has weight loss products. And Lucy Mecklenburg looks a lot more wholesome.
Nick in our live chat says it's difficult to think of 4 people I could be any less interested in.
Same.
It's true. We're in that boat too. But I do like covering these stories because they do represent something that we all get exposed to a lot. And on this occasion, I am going to slightly side with one of their arguments.
Mm.
I'm going to be devil's advocate, but without on purpose, if you know what I mean. Anyway, all 4 had previously been warned, apparently, about breaking advertising rules, the ASA said. And their naming and shaming is part of the ASA's new policy of listing repeat rule breakers on its website. ASA boss Guy Parker was quoted by the BBC as saying, "It's not difficult. Be upfront and clear when posts and stories are ads. And the ASA guidance for influencers says you will need to make sure it's clear when you're posting about your own products or services. But Marsh, Jody Marsh, told the BBC using the nutritional products that her business produced was a part of her life that she would naturally document on Instagram. Now, this is where I do slightly side with her on this, because if you are using your own product and you're and it's in your shot or you're talking about it and you're known for being the person for whom that, like, you made that product, then should you be labeling everything as an ad? Because a lot of the time that's not going to be an ad, and I think that was the case in this. It's not like saying with some of these, and usually is the case, is that it's an influencer with a very large audience, has been approached and paid by a third party to say how great this product is and how they use it, and you include in their hashtag
ad. Most of the
ad.
Time they don't even use the thing. They're just holding it up and saying that they do. So,
but that's, I mean, whether they are or not, the whole idea, right, is that they're meant to be saying,
this is an advert.
This This post has been paid for. But, I mean, I was trying to think, well, what's the podcasting equivalent of something like this? Because if I go on, I was on This Week in Tech the other day, or when I go on DTNS, you know, there's always a point where you plug your own show, but it's not an ad. No one's going to say that's an ad. It is a promotion, but it's obvious that that's who you are. That's what you're doing. So she's saying the rules aren't always that clear. And I think, you know, if a CEO of a company was talking about their brand all the time, they're not going to have to label that as an ad.
No,
it's not. It is black and white.
It is a grey area. I'm wondering if it has anything to do with the fact that she's a personality and the company is separate.
Yes.
And that if you have a company Instagram profile, it's kind of insinuated that all your posts are going to be promoting something, but she's a person.
So you say,
but then artists are people, not necessarily companies, and they promote their work, and musicians and stuff. So, like, yeah, why aren't musicians getting told you can't promote your music? That needs to be an ad. So, like, it is a bit unfair.
So you're saying the ASA in this instance is determining, well, you are known for being a person who plugs any old tat that people pay. Therefore, any time you promote tat, even if it's your own,
yeah,
it has to be an
I
ad.
I wonder if they're being singled out because of they are, you know, glamorous models who promote weight loss stuff. I don't know that they're all doing weight loss stuff. I know Jodie Marsh is, and one of the other ones is.
It could be the nature of the audience
itself,
as well. But then I also,
yeah,
I sort of feel like the,
if you're aiming weight loss stuff at young girls, which a lot of people do, I think that's a whole separate issue that we could talk about. But maybe they're cracking down on them because of that.
I think, or it could be. It could be. It's certainly less harmful if you think about a band that's promoting its latest album.
Yeah.
It's not really going to harm anyone. Whereas, yeah, and I'm not saying that any of the people and any of the products they're promoting were harmful. I'm sure they were perfectly legitimate products. But it has that knock-on effect. It's like with that filter conversation, isn't it? Like, there's a big campaign to stop beauty influencers using filters.
Yeah.
Because it gives an unrealistic impression.
Yeah.
John in our live chat says, has a good idea, says, could they have a permanent watermark on their video saying this video contains product placement to cover their own backs? But if it was permanent and it was on all their videos, it's not always product placement. Again, I don't know. Is it product placement? Is it product placement,
I mean,
when a band holds up a CD?
It's maybe it's the grey area, because if you just come upon their profile, you don't necessarily follow them or know who they are or know what their business is, you might see Jodie Marsh drinking this weight loss health drink thing.
Yeah.
And it might not be her product. Like, it might be, but it might not be. So how does the ASA know? Do they have to have a list of all the celebrities and all their products? Like, that doesn't really work. If she comes up with 10 new products in a year, they need to differentiate between what's her product and what isn't, and which ones are ads. So it's either one rule for all of them, or
I think you're right, and I hadn't thought about it in the context of, you know, things like bands. But yeah. I see that all the time because I follow a lot of bands on Instagram and drummers, and I see that. But what about with your? I mean, you know, for those unaware, Kate's job is as a designer and has a business that she works with and does a lot of design stuff. But you don't put ad when you're promoting your own cards and washi tapes and stuff, do you?
That's why it's interesting, because I'm not a company myself, and for the sake of argument, I don't sell products myself. I design products for someone else, but I still promote her products because I work for her. So am I doing ads for her, like, technically? But I've got a business profile, so does that make me exempt? Or do they just not care because I only have 900 followers and not a million?
Or does this count as an ad?
I don't know. Oopsie-daisy, UK.
Because, you see, I don't know, this is a grey area. I mean, in the chat, someone's posted a link here. Sorry, I didn't scroll down. It's John, I think. That apparently there'd been some concerns about health claims made by one of the women that maybe just made them look harder at what they're posting in future. Mm. And that's certainly the reason why they name and shame on the website, because they want to say, hey, look, you can't. You've got to make these things clear. We're going to keep our eye on you. And I think part of the stipulation here is that if you have been named and shamed, then their eyes are kept on you for a bit longer.
Yeah.
But I do agree that, like, whatever you're promoting, the rules should be clear. And I'm not convinced that on some of the occasions here they necessarily were. It's a rare example where I have an opinion that coincides with those of a beauty influencer.
Yeah.
But brave new world 2021, isn't it? It's absolutely crazy. Wife's doing a podcast with me. I'm agreeing with beauty influencers. With whom have you agreed, surprisingly, to yourself this week? If you'd like to let us know, you can do so by sending us an email, uktechshow@icloud.com. Or you can join our Discord if you're one of our patrons, and leave us your opinions while we record as you listen to us live. Well, we've got some feedback just come in from Mark. He says, just catching up on episode 240 and listen to you discussing live-streamed theatre. Provoked quite a response, actually. We had quite a lot of emails. Mark continues, I just thought you might be interested to know that at least the Globe Theatre, that's the one on South Bank here in London, kind of did this as part of their children's programme. My kids, he says, 6 and 9, attended a version of Romeo and Juliet back in February on Zoom, where about 50 families called in each for a live show. It was a format that was half acting, half storytelling, so they only had about one or two actors, but was very well done and is similar to a format of live show they did for kids before the pandemic. It was great live, and we had organised to watch it with a couple of other families, each in our own homes, which worked surprisingly well. Looks like they might still be doing it if you want to read a bit more about it. And he's included a link to that at shakespeareglobe.com, and I'll include a link to that in the show notes. And thank you very much, Mark. And speaking of show notes, actually, if you're one of our patrons, I did a whole episode of Extra Message this week about the usefulness of show notes or lack thereof. And if you want that or any of our other comments, my comments about things we do behind the scenes, you can get Extra Message by becoming a patron. You get our extended version of the show and various other things you can listen live. And also, as of this very week, we mentioned it at the top of the show, we mentioned it on Twitter and on Extra Message as well, we are now available to subscribe or buy subscription on Apple Podcasts. You can get our extended ad-free version now directly on Apple Podcasts, separate to Patreon. It's the same content, but you're just getting it through Apple instead of Patreon. So have a look at that in Apple Podcasts if you use that app. And for everybody else, you can get that, as always, by going to uktechshow.com/subscribe. Well, we are going to check in now with one Mr. Tom Merritt and hear about what's been going on in the wider world of global technology this week.
This week on Daily Tech News Show, how Microsoft won E3 with Xbox Game Pass. Why working from home may not make you more productive, but not less either. Apple apparently would like to become your primary healthcare provider. A U.S. bill would make it easier not to get tricked by free trials. And why TikTok wants you to watch it on your television. All that and much more at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
Thank you, Tom. And thank you, wife, Kate.
You are welcome.
It's been a pleasure. Would you like to plug anything?
I make cute little greetings cards. You can buy them. What's my website? SnailScribbles.com.
SnailScribbles.com.
And my Instagram is Snail_Scribbles.
And
I'm very close to 1,000 followers, so...
So go and follow Snail_Scribbles on Instagram. I'm extremely biased because I'm married to her, but they are lovely cards. And if you're in need of greetings cards, that's a good place to start, snailscribbles.com. Thank you, Kate. And thank you, everyone, for listening. If you get our regular short version and want to get the long version, you will hear a thrilling story about Deliveroo couriers being trained to spot signs of human trafficking. We had an insightful discussion about that. Kate brought up a point that for some reason didn't occur to me even once, which is kind of embarrassing. But you can get that if you get our extended version. And until next week, I think, when we will be rejoined by Mr. Morris, I hope you have a wonderful, safe, healthy, and overall happy week. Goodbye.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.